Welcome to the Seahawks Forever podcast, in-depth analysis on everything Seahawks. And now, here's your host, Dan Viens.
What is up, everybody? We have completed day two of the NFL draft. Hold on. Trying to get this down. Technical difficulties there. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Live reaction to the Seahawks selecting Christian Haynes at number 81 in the third round. Welcome to the channel. If you're new to the channel, make sure and hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell for notification of future episodes on the YouTube channel. If you're listening on audio, just hit subscribe so you make sure that you hit all the future episodes of the channel. If you're a Seahawk fan, welcome. It is a good day to be a Seahawk fan. If you have followed me at all, and I'm going to put this up if you're watching it on the YouTube channel, you saw my final mock draft as we headed into yesterday, and it didn't stay perfect. I got Byron Murphy correct, and then in the third round, I had them taking Dominic Pooney, guard out of Texas. Now, he went a little bit earlier, so he was not on the board. But I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am about Christian Haynes being the selection for the Seahawks today. Look, heading into this draft, there were a couple of huge needs, right? We've spent the last couple of months getting used to Mike McDonald's, the new head coach, after 15 years of Pete Carroll being at the helm. New messaging, new narrative, new language. And he talked a lot about the identity he wanted to build on this roster, being physical on both sides of the ball, building from the front to the back and from the inside out. And yet there was a lot of consternation among the fan base, and I was included in this, at the obvious need on the interior of the offensive line. And all throughout this offseason, John Schneider has been asked ad nauseum about what they're going to do to address it. And no matter what he said, there was a certain segment of the fan base and even of the, you know, draft analytical community out there that he wasn't doing enough. And some of that is just the unknown, right? We know what's going on at tackle. Charles Cross is ninth pick 2 years ago, and Abe Lucas third round of that same year. And although there were questions about his knee, they go out and they sign George Fant as a really solid veteran option to back up both bookends. But questions about the interior offensive line: Damian Lewis departs in free agency, Evan Brown departs in free agency. And that unit struggled. And really, when the Seahawks have struggled at protecting their quarterback the last 7 or 8 years, you can make the case, it's from the interior, at least since Cross and Lucas arrived. Well, I have been higher than most, and have been trying to tell you the last couple of months that I think they're fine at center. That Oluwatimi, to me, when they drafted him in the fifth round last year, looked to me like a 10-year starting center. Maybe never a guy that wins all pros, but a solid, dependable guy. And a guy who's bigger and stronger than anyone we've had playing center for quite some time. Anthony Bradford was drafted in the fourth round last year. Started 10 games. Big, strong, physical. Is he as athletic and mobile as the new regime wants? We don't know. The Seahawks addressed, you know, they went out and signed Tremaine Antrim from the Rams, a guy who had only started 2 games in his career. Young guy, though, he has some good tape. They have McClendon Curtis, who they poached off the Raiders practice squad last year at the very beginning of the season. Carried him on the roster all year, even though he didn't play. Kept name-dropping him as someone they like. And then late in the process, they signed Laken Tomlinson, former first-round pick, and a guy who's been an all-pro, but he's 32 years old now, coming off a down year in New York. So how would they address it going into the draft? And a lot of the sentiment and the majority of mock drafts that we were seeing out there had them taking Troy Fatanu, the tackle who could play guard out of UW. Well, yesterday, the pick comes and goes. At 16, the Seahawks stay put, and they take Byron Murphy. If you've watched me for any length of time, you know that I've been saying for months that as much as I loved Fatanu, and would have been ecstatic, frankly, if he had been the pick at 16 yesterday, the draft worked out better, the way this draft class falls, if you go defense early. And just as an example of that, let me just read off some names. Let me pull up the prospects that still remain at the defensive tackle position. If you had gone Fatanu early, the cliff at interior defensive line was severe. Fabian Lovett, Mekhi Wingo, severely undersized. Brandon Dorlus, Tyler Davis, Jordan Jefferson, Marcus Harris, Gabe Hall, Justin Rogers. This is what was left at defensive tackle when the Seahawks were on the board at 81. So you'd get the elite early guard, but then you're talking about tackles at 81 that frankly project as rotational guys, role players, solid average starters. In my opinion, and I had, let me remind you, I already showed it to you once. I just want to show it to you again. I had them taking Murphy at 16. Best defensive tackle in the draft. Arguably the best defensive player in this draft. And the Seahawks got him at 16 because of a historic run of 14 consecutive offensive picks from 1 to 14. And then they still get a guy at 81 who I consider to be the second best guard in this draft. After Troy Fatanu, Christian Haynes is the second best guard. To me, he was a plug and play day one starter. Outstanding in pass protection. The number of pressures he's given up in the last couple of years is minuscule, but also nasty demeanor in the run game, can get to the second level, athletic enough. To me, he's a plug-and-play 10-year starter with all-pro potential. I didn't take him in many mock drafts. Those of you that follow me and know how many mock drafts I do, you have seen hundreds of them from me, and you didn't see Christian Haynes because he was solidly in the second round, early to mid. Seahawks weren't going to get a chance to get him. He wasn't a guy I mocked that often. And yet there he is. And so the Seahawks, as much consternation as there was about not having enough picks in the top 100, end up with the best defensive lineman in the draft, maybe the best defensive player overall, and the second best, in my opinion, interior offensive lineman in the draft. And they just stayed patient, stuck at 81. That's big time. That's big time. You check the two biggest boxes going into the offseason, into the draft anyway, and you still have five picks left now coming up tomorrow, including the second pick in the draft on day three. That gives you all night to plan. You're going to take phone calls. At one point, as the draft was falling to us at 81, and I was live on the Hawk Zone Rundown podcast with Bryce and Ryan. We had a great time. Check that out if it's on their website. I had to stay. I had only planned to be on with them for like a half an hour, but I was having so much fun. And then the pick was coming up and I was like, I can't go anywhere. We have to react to this, right? At one point, there was so much value left on the draft board that I said, trade down. Trade down if you can. Whereas as the third round started, I was thinking maybe we even trade up into the end of the third round, get two picks today. They stayed patient. They stayed patient. John Schneider did admit in their press conference tonight, they thought about going up a couple of times, in particular to get Haynes. I think this is a great example of there are a couple of franchises in the NFL that are notorious for sticking and picking, letting the draft fall to them. Cincinnati, the Baltimore Ravens are two that stand out to me. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are three. Where they just, it's funny, they're all in the same division, right? They just sit there and every year guys fall to them. Troy Fitano falls to the Steelers at 20. Peyton Wilson falls to them in the third round. The Ravens had some guys fall to them. I feel like that's where the Seahawks are at now. That whatever prompted this change in philosophy the last 3 years to get away from projection and upside so much and focusing so much on ceiling and taking guys that have proven themselves over time. And in most cases, in big programs. Now, Connecticut's a little smaller program. Now, they did have a connection there, right? Former Seahawk head coach Jim Mora Jr. is the head coach there. John Snyder said they spoke, and he just raved about him. Haynes is a guy that's been a multiple-time captain there. Started over 50 games. Experienced. Leader. Nasty. Went to the Pro Bowl, or the Senior Bowl, and certainly didn't look like a guy from a smaller school. Dominated. And this is interesting too. I saw him line up at left guard a little bit during Senior Bowl week, and so I kind of thought that was his history. He has exclusively played right guard at Connecticut. But in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, they actually worked him at center quite a bit too. He was asked in his press conference tonight on the phone after he was selected, and he said he'll play anywhere and he can play anywhere. This is interesting to me because I believe that the Seahawks are serious about the value they think they acquired in Laken Tomlinson and that he's just a workhorse and an iron man at left guard coming off a year in New York where everything was just kind of a mess with the Jets. And so, of course, he recorded his worst PFF grades of his career, but just 3 years ago was an all pro with the 49ers and a guy you can plug in at left guard and be a veteran presence on what now looks to be an extremely young offensive line. And Christian Haynes, he's your starting right guard from day one. And this doesn't mean the Seahawks missed on Anthony Bradford last year. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a future with the team. Maybe he doesn't fit precisely what Scott Huff and Ryan Grubb want to do with their offensive linemen. But also he has more versatility than I think people are giving him credit for. He played a lot of left tackle at LSU, so he's comfortable on either side. He could back up both sides. And maybe Laken Tomlinson, if he stays healthy all year and contributes and is the player that they hope he is, maybe he's just a one-year stopgap at left guard. And Anthony Bradford can start working on that side as well. And he's a guy, he was one of the youngest offensive linemen in the draft last year. He's certainly not a guy I'm going to give up on just because we drafted a right guard today. That you start to see the depth that they're building now, and also that Haynes does have the flexibility to play center. If Oluwatimi doesn't fit, if he isn't the player we think he's going to be, suddenly that offensive line starts to look better. And the questions about John Snyder not committing, not valuing interior offensive line enough, I have said that I thought that was overblown, and I think that was proven today. I would make the argument that Christian Haynes is the best interior offensive line the Seahawks have drafted since Steve Hutchinson, who, remember, is still a consultant. And they mentioned him tonight in the press conference with McDonald and Snyder. Also, a little side note, I love that Snyder is involving McDonald in these press conferences. A lot of GMs don't. They just come out by themselves. First-year head coach, they seem to really be symbiotic, be on the same page. I really like what they're doing. Christian Haynes, he is 6'3", 317 pounds, 33.5-inch arms. Ran a 5-flat 40 at the combine. A 1.75 10-yard split, 33-inch vertical jump, 25 reps at 225 in the bench press. Tons of starts at right guard. 4 years as a starter. This was a guy, as the third round started to unfold, all those interior guys fell. And it wasn't until Cooper Beebe went about five or six picks before the Seahawks that Bryce and Ryan and I were talking about how all the dudes are left. Mason McCormick, Dominic Pooney were all left. Then there was a little bit of a run on guard. Started to get a little nervous, and John Schneider admitted that himself as well tonight. But he fell to us. And now the opportunity going into tomorrow, if you had asked me going into this draft, if you had told me, I'll give you Byron Murphy and Christian Haynes, what else do you want? I would have said, I don't care. Anything that happens from here on out is gravy. To me, those are the two biggest needs. And you checked those boxes with guys that have all pro potential. That's great value. Only having two picks in the top 100 and you cashed him in the way that we did. I could not be happier. Now, there's a ton of value left on this board, you guys. And one of the biggest questions heading into tomorrow with Seahawks having the second pick, 2 fourths, 2 sixths, and the seventh. What about quarterback? Spencer Rattler and Michael Pratt made it through today without being picked. The Raiders passed on him numerous times. The Rams passed numerous times. The Giants did. Does a team like the Giants or the Raiders try to trade up ahead of us with Carolina to get Rattler or Pratt? Or do the Seahawks take that guy? Do they feel strongly enough? They had Rattler in for a 30 visit. They met with Pratt either at the Senior Bowl or the Combine. Schneider called Rattler an impressive guy on his radio show last week. Do they want to layer that quarterback room three deep and go Geno, Howell, Rattler? The opportunity's there. Schneider's been telling us for years how disappointed he is that he hasn't taken a quarterback every year the way he was taught to by Ron Wolf in Green Bay. Does he do that tomorrow? Or does he pass on that or take advantage of that from a team that wants to move up, maybe trade down, pick up a couple of different assets and take advantage of some of the other value that is left in this draft? The tight ends were sparse on day one and two. You look at the tight end group that's left, Jatavion Sanders, Theo Johnson, Cade Stover. I'm shocked all three of those guys didn't go on day two. They're still there. You look at the linebacker group, right? Knowing that everybody that we have currently is on a one-year deal. And Jeremiah Trotter is still on the board. Cedric Gray is still on the board. Nathaniel Watson, who the Seahawks met with, SEC Player of the Year, is still on the board. Tommy Eichenberg, Olafosio from UW is still on the board. Tremendous depth left Jalen Ford out of Texas at the linebacker position. And then there's safety. And one of my favorite prospects over the last couple of months studying this draft was Jaden Hicks out of WSU. It just seems to me like a guy that screams Mike McDonald, the versatility, the interchangeability, can play free or strong, can play nickel, can cover tight ends. He's still on the board. Dadrian Taylor Demerson out of Texas Tech, Katana Oladapo, Oregon State, Malik Mustafa, Wake Forest, Jalen Simpson, Auburn, Bo Braid, Maryland, Dominic Hampton, Washington, James Williams, Miami. And the second Utah safety, I believe, is still available. Sione Vaki, tons of value left at safety as well. There's some offensive tackles that are left that are interesting if you want to hedge against Lucas not coming back. It's interesting how the draft philosophy has changed in Seattle, that how much more patient Schneider has gotten, and I think it's paid off. Could not be happier with the combination that we have so far in the draft. And I can't give what has happened so far anything other than an A+. when you talk about Byron Murphy and Christian Haynes. You're talking about two building blocks in the trenches, which is the area where the Seahawks have been the weakest over the last 7 or 8 years. That's my reaction. What do you guys think? I can't wait to hear the comments. What do you grade the first 2 days, and what do you want to see happen next? How would you feel if the Seahawks drafted Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt at 4-2 tomorrow? Or shoot, you might even be able to get Pratt at 4-18 tomorrow. What are your thoughts? Let me know. Follow me on Twitter at Seahawks Forever. This has been a lot of fun. This has been a great draft, and we'll be doing it tomorrow as well. I will react at the end of the draft tomorrow after everything is wrapped up. I'll do another live reaction show just such as this, and then I'll do some more in-depth reactions on Sunday and Monday, especially as we hear some of the undrafted free agents, and then start getting in some guests, some draft analysts and other journalists and podcasters, and get their thoughts on it and move forward into the offseason. I am Dan. This is Seahawks Forever. Forever and always, go Hawks. Thanks for watching.